You ready?
Okay, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better?
Right now, there's two big X symbols in the air.
I need glow sticks.
We do need glow sticks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast.
Sponsored by D-Generation X.
Sponsored, well, hopefully. We need someone to sponsor us out there. I think we've said enough Olay that they should sponsor us. All of Olay should be sponsoring us. But anyway, this week's the NFL week, all the divisional round games. And then obviously some bit of news of the coaching carousel, like I like to call it, and certain players doing certain silly things.
But, well, when you're in LA, you know, that's what you do.
First off, just a quick shout out to LSU winning the NCAA college championship over Clemson Tigers.
42-25, yeah.
Yeah, end up being, basically that after they sort of hit one, it was sort of close. It was like 31-25, and then, Joe Burrow just took over. So,
welcome to the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow.
Well, I think if you look at it, he has literally had the best season of any college football player ever with the amount of yards and everything basically he did. He has the most perfect college season. So yes, welcome to Cincinnati Bengals.
Because if they don't Cincinnati pick you,
they've got no idea. They have to pick him.
They literally got no choice, have they? That they've got to pick him.
We'll move on to the games, I guess, the actual NFL games. The first one, the 49ers. I'm thinking of both our picks now. The 27-10 over the Minnesota Vikings. It was just their defense.
Suffocating. That's all you can say is just absolutely suffocating. Like, they just strangled the life out of Minnesota from the jump. Like, just from the get-go, they allowed no run game for them. They just strangled the life out of them every time Cousins had the ball. Cousins still completed 21 passes, but he only had 172 yards.
And he got sacked six times.
And he got hit, that's right. He got hit nine times and sacked six times. So
two of the monster sacks from Nick Bosa. It was ridiculous.
Nick Bosa just seen a big chicken drumstick there and he was feasting.
that dude is he's something else. I mean, both the Bosa brothers, but him.
But he looks like he's better than his brother.
Well, that's what we don't have to go too far into awards or anything like that, but he's easily one of the best defensive players this year.
He's a shoo-in. He's a shoo-in for defensive rookie of the year, but he has to be close, you know, or around the conversation for being defensive player of the year.
Yeah, because he's just how quick he gets off that line. It's absolutely ridiculous how quick he gets off the line because he's a big dude. But I mean, this is how they, I suppose.
Breed him these days. They're just big athletic guys, but they got the speed. They've got the speed and quickness to get off the line quickly to be able to sort of burst through the offensive line there. And for me, it was basically roles reversed from last week. Mm-hmm. Like the Vikings offensive line, they just mauled the Saints defensive line. It was the other way around this time.
Well, it's the other way around. You're right, but it's disappointing. They mauled the O-line in Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. Yeah, clearly he got sacked six times. But then you've got a supreme running back in Dalvin Cook, which he didn't even use. Dalvin Cook got 18 yards that entire game.
18 yards out of nine rushes.
If the passing game's not working, shift to the running game. But it's not even the 18 yards is obviously poor, but to only get nine carries in a game when they were getting mauled, well, Kirk Cousins was getting mauled. It's just, I couldn't work it out. Dalvin Cook has had a great season this year and is a great running back. So
and he, you know, against the Saints defense the week before, he was great.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show that you go up another level when you hit San Francisco. They just went up another level.
The flip side was a great game by Tevin Coleman, 105 yards and two touchdowns.
But they had the run game going from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raheem Mostert had 12 carries for 58.
58 yards.
As you go back down, even Matt Breida, who's that's a pretty good third option at running back. You know, he had eight carries for 17. So you know, and that's what their first choice running back got for Minnesota. And this was their third choice running back for San Francisco. Yeah, Jimmy G didn't do much. He didn't need to do much.
And that's sort of been his MO the entire year. He doesn't have to do much, and he doesn't need to do much.
No.
We'll go into the other games, I guess, before we sort of talk about the conference sort of games. Just before we move on, out of all the teams, I'm liking the 49ers. It's hard to sort of pass
up the 49ers. I'm on the Niners. I think they're going to be they're going to be tough. They're going to be real tough to beat. I think Green Bay next week's going to have their hands full defensively.
Well, that was the other. We'd have to go in order. That was the other NFC, I guess. The other NFC divisional game. The Packers beating the Seahawks 28-23 on the back of, Aaron Rodgers had a pretty steady Aaron Rodgers game, 16 out of 27 and 243 yards. So no interceptions, which is great.
No, that's always good. But that's all he's been doing this year, though. Like, he's been as solid as you can get, but he was big in the clutch in that fourth quarter.
Him and Devontae Adams.
He was big in the clutch. And that supposed controversial reception by Jimmy Graham as well, where they think that he probably should have been short of a first down marker. It was hard to see on all the camera angles whether or not he got there, whether he didn't. You err on the side of caution, and they've probably just gone, right, close enough's good enough. But, in a big game, in a big spot like that, they took long enough on the replay. Like they felt like they were at commercial for forever.
Yeah.
Trying to figure that out. And they ended up calling it a first down. So, and it wasn't an easy catch either for Jimmy Graham. Like there's two big receptions. Yeah. And they're both on third down as well. Yeah. You know, the whole game that was the key to everything for a Green Bay win. They were 9 of 13 on third down.
I think he made it. I think that was I've looked at a couple of the replays. I think he got to that first down, and we're only talking very, very well. I mean, the angle that the New York Pete Carroll's just going off in that replay as well. The angle that the guys in New York would have, like, it's the same angle that we have. So it's not like they would have seen.
They wouldn't have seen too much.
You couldn't have seen where the ball had landed anyway. So, no. Russell Wilson had a great game. He basically had to sort of carry the entire game, and that's in the rushing as well. He a couple of those little darts he had, picking up a lot of first downs in that game, I thought.
No, he was great with his legs as well, and he was lucky he didn't get sacked more than what he did, because his escapability out of the pocket is pretty good, and if he gets sacked on a couple of those plays, then Seattle has no chance. Like, both of these teams pretty much had the won't say die attitude, probably more so much Seattle. They just wouldn't lie down. I think they were down. Were they down 28-10? They just wouldn't take no for an answer. They just kept coming, and I think Green Bay knew that, and Seattle had two chances there at the end to try and win it, and Aaron Rodgers had other ideas.
Yeah,
he did not want to give Wilson that third chance inside those last 2 minutes to try and pull off some sort of miracle. He just did not want that to happen, because you would have put your money on Russell Wilson at least getting him in field goal range, and then it's 28 all, and then you go to overtime, and then who the hell knows what happens.
Well, that's exactly right. With that Green Bay win, that so they now still remain undefeated when they lead at halftime, which is very interesting. Mm. So when they don't lead, obviously, well, they've only lost three times this year, but yeah, every time they lead, they win. So, buy into that what you will. I don't think it's going to make a difference when you go down to up to down. No, what would it be up for them to Levi Stadium? I guess.
Let's say across. Well, we all know what happened last time. They got a little bit of California sunshine, so that didn't go too well for them the last time. So hopefully they can learn from those, you know, I don't know if you want to call them errors or whatever they did last time. You would totally change up your regime for this time.
Well, Aaron has to. He's a California boy, so surely
He's a Southern Cal boy, so yeah, I think they're just going to have to completely change what they did the last time, because their two trips to California during the regular season were pretty ordinary.
The two AFC games, the first one, I guess it was a stunning win by the Titans, 28-12 over the Baltimore Ravens,
knocking out Baltimore.
Well, knocking out the, I wouldn't say he's a lock, but pretty much I'm thinking your MVP of the season, Lamar Jackson. So,
That's not going to affect him getting the MVP.
No, because this is postseason. That has nothing to do with it. He's still to me the NFL.
Regular season awards, and they do the same thing in the NBA. It's a regular season award. Like, your postseason numbers and performances have absolutely nothing to do with regular season awards, and this should be no different.
I'm not going to totally blame Lamar Jackson, because he tried. He still led rushing, 20 carries, 443 yards. His passing wasn't great, but he still, you know, in that dog time, he still ended up getting up to 365 yards. But
no, that's right. But making him pass 59 times, that's the secret.
Yep.
You're keeping it to me. That means he still had good rushing numbers, but he fumbled the ball. He threw a couple of interceptions. He essentially had to do everything. You know, Mark Ingram come back from that calf injury and he did nothing. Yeah. 6 for 22, 6 carries for 22 yards. That was it. Lamar Jackson had 20 rushes. He had 20 times he had to rush the ball.
He just seemed frustrated in that game. That's all I sort of picked out of it. He was extremely frustrated in that game. On the flip side, obviously.
Has he been sacked four times this year? Probably not. So he actually got caught by, I think, you know, what you can only assume is a bit of an underrated Titans defense.
Oh, I would say so, because I don't think we've talked about them at all this entire year. Like you said, maybe they just worked it out. And they just, make Lamar pass 59 times and he'll get frustrated, get tired.
Keep your integrity on that defensive line and that front four.
Don't
split out. Don't let him have the option of sort of splitting up the middle or running sort of like a quarterback draw or a jet sweep around and let him use his legs. They kept him bottled up in the pocket, and it looked like it worked a treat.
On the flip side, Ryan Tannehill, second game under 100 yards.
MVP.
Seven throws, 7 out of 14 for 88 yards. That's his second game in a row. He's thrown under 100 yards.
Seven completions. Doesn't really matter when you've got touchdowns.
Well, that's exactly right. He still had a pass rating of 109.5. So he didn't do nothing wrong.
No, that's right.
But does he really have to do anything when you've got this 260-pound beast running the ball and getting into, like, seemingly into Derrick Henry we're talking about here. Just seems to get into bloody... Man, I don't think anyone can tackle him. Until I watched him, like, I watched that entire game. I didn't realize. I mean, I did and I didn't. I didn't realize how big that guy. He's massive. There is not a. He's just. I don't know. He's extreme. I don't know what to say to him because he doesn't look like a running back.
He's Jason Tamalolo. That's what he is.
That's actually probably a good way of putting it.
He's probably taller than Jason Tamalolo, but and that's a scary thought. Because who the hell would want to try and tackle him?
And he's quicker than Jason Tamalolo. So it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane. It's insane what it will be. 30 carries
for 195 yards. Like you said on the flip side, maybe Tennessee worked it out and let Lamar Jackson throw the ball as much as we can, get him tired, and this might be the key. On the other, talk about the other side of it. No one's obviously worked out what to do with Derrick Henry because you'd think, looking at the last two or three games, there's been no passing at all, and if there is, it's minimal. Wouldn't you just sort of exactly what do you do? Or like they just no one's worked out Derrick Henry yet.
I think that's part of it that there's simply just no answer to stop him, but he's getting a lot of runs too, where he's getting no contact at all. So you've got to sort of praise the offensive line as well for sort of opening up those holes for him.
Yeah.
He's not just simply beating down the door. Like he's getting decent runs and he's getting a lot of, free space to be able to run. Tannehill has proved throughout the regular season that yes, he can get it done for you if this doesn't work, but this is working. So they're just like, righto, who cares? They're just blowing the doors off everybody with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right, who cares? If it's working, it's working. If it wins you games, and in the last two games they won have been last game they won was against the Super Bowl champions. This game they won was against the best team in the NFL. So
that's right.
They're on a roll. They don't care who they face by the looks of it.
No. That's what I mean. I'm sure they've got plans, C, D, and E and up the sleeve. If this run game doesn't sort of come off, one of the things I sort of took out of that as well is and you take out of the whole season really for Baltimore. Baltimore were great front runners. Yeah. Once they got behind, and once they started to sink down a little bit, they weren't, they're explosive offensively, but it must just be that little bit of extra added pressure. I don't know what it is. Like there are a couple of losses throughout the season. Like they got down big and couldn't recover. And this was another one. A first quarter interception from Lamar Jackson cost them 7 points instantly.
Every time he looked, he had the ball, he just seemed frustrated. I mean, he couldn't do anything. He ran, so he was completely frustrated in that game. So, on the other AFC flip side, the Titans are going to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs, another
holy
massive team,
moly.
Which I don't think they'll care. But the Houston Texans going down to the Kansas City Chiefs, 51-31. Although, man, it was a tale of like I wouldn't even say a tale of like two halves. It was a tale of two quarters.
Not so much two quarters, but it was one pretty much significant play that turned everything on its head. In that first quarter, you got the block punt. You've got Tyreek Hill trying to make a big play. Drops the ball on a potential punt return. Tyreek Hill, it's very limited, or it's not very often that they put him back there to make those catches on special teams off a punt. So they were sort of looking for a little bit of spark once they got down that first touchdown off the block punt. But they were up 24, they were up 21-0. They end up taking the field goal to put the this is the Texans. They put themselves up. This is in the second quarter. They put themselves up 24-0, and everything changed from there. Instead of putting 6 points on, 7 points on, essentially, I think it was only a short distance too. I think it was like a 4th and 2. They took a timeout, and they're like, okay, you thought they were going to go for it, and then Vrabel sort of pulled back a little bit. Bill O'Brien.
The Texans had pulled coach, back a little bit,
and you could see that he was very frustrated that he was sending the field goal unit out there. You'd see he was shaking his head. He didn't want to, but he essentially had no other choice.
Well, if you looked at it,
it was a 4th and 2, so he could. He didn't have to, but he wanted to remain safe and said, "Right, cool. You know, we're rolling here. 24-0 up.
Correct.
You know, we're good. Yeah. You know, we're doing everything. We're doing everything right." And then you poke the bear, and the bear, who's Patrick Mahomes, just went, okay, cool.
Yep.
Then they proceed to score, 41 unanswered points?
41 unanswered points up until Houston got a touchdown in the third quarter. It was, Patrick Mahomes.
They scored three touchdowns in 3 minutes and 24 seconds.
And to poking the other bear was Travis Kelce too, because he just seemed to be everywhere where Patrick Mahomes needed him to be. Five yard sort of flick pass and a touchdown. Even there, he was just standing there.
That was very close to being pulled back, because he was almost past the line of scrimmage.
I think he was fine. He had that left foot there.
I think he was. There was still a little bit of a foot behind the line as he sort of flicked it.
Yeah,
flicked it forward. So you're nitpicking a little bit there to think about that. But yeah, that 24 point lead evaporated so quick. Like, they were down 28-24 at half time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that's just.
It was a tale of those two quarters. But you're right. I never really thought of that. Like, what do? You'd have to take the field goal, be 24-0 up at 4th and 2.
No, that's right. Exactly.
It'd be the other way if they didn't take it and they didn't get that 2 yards to make it a 1st and goal or a 1st and 10. Then, you know, they'd be going, well, you should have taken the 3 points, but not that it mattered anyway.
No, it didn't. But you know, they weren't helping themselves. There was one bit there where they got the turnover on downs, where they tried the fake punt. I think it was on 4th and 4. They tried the fake punt and they got caught out, and it was just a beautiful single player legs tackle, you know, straight out of a rugby league book. Just got him around the legs, pulled him down. And it was just some of the questionable decisions in spots in the game where you thought, oh, okay, that's a little strange. But by the end of it, you know, they weren't helping themselves. No. As well, with pass interference penalties, they had 3 massive pass interference penalties, the Texans, which gave the Chiefs you can't give the Chiefs free possessions and free yards, like, not in the mood they were in.
Yeah, yeah.
They were already moving the ball unbelievable, and then you give away. Yeah, there was 3 big calls. It was that was just in the second half. Like, they couldn't be stopped. But you're like, man, what are they doing?
I thought also on the back of Kansas City Chiefs defense to turn around, Frank Clark seemed to be everywhere, I guess, that Deshaun Watson was. He only got 4 tackles, but he did get 3 solo sacks, and he was quarterback hitting Deshaun Watson everywhere.
You could see him. He was everywhere.
And he didn't. And they had a bit of a stare down sort of after one of them, and Deshaun just sort of laughed it off, but Frank was like, I've got your number, basically.
I got you. I got you. Well, Houston's the only team in playoff history to lead by 20 points and then subsequently lose by 20 points.
Yeah.
Only team in playoff history, so that's a nice little record for him to take back to Houston and take to the draft, where hopefully they just draft nothing but offensive linemen.
Yeah, true.
They've got the receivers there. They've got the high-powered offense. They've got the receivers there. You could maybe sort of have a bit of an upgrade at running back, maybe a secondary running back. Not to say that Duke Johnson isn't good, but, you know, Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson work well together, so you probably don't need to go too crazy there. They just need to keep the Deshaun Watson upright.
And he was in that game for that first quarter. He was not even getting touched at all up until that field goal. Like you said, it's just
everything
changed. And it wasn't even halftime.
It was bizarre. It was crazy. Well, they ran out of fireworks at the stadium.
Yeah, they said they apologized to the fans.
Sorry, fans. We ran out of fireworks because you scored 80 touchdowns in this game. sorry about that. Like, that's just something you don't need to apologize to that game.
They wouldn't have cared anyway. Their team's winning. Who cares?
That is stupid. Well, 50, and that's the other thing that's sort of that was a record in that game as well, was 52 first half points is a playoff record as well.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, that 82 point total, surely that's a record somewhere in a divisional playoff game. 82 points.
For a playoff game, like, you just, to have 82 points, you know, a 51-31 scoreline, that's pretty out there.
So the next week's games are the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship games. Both on the, on the Monday for us, so Sunday in America. Who do you like in the Titans and Chiefs?
They're sort of West Coast and then, you know, the Midwest time zone. So, look, you can't go past Kansas City. Like, you think that Tennessee's run is going to end, especially after that display that Kansas City just put on this week. But, you know, in their own building, they got punched in the mouth for 24-0 being down, and that's, you know, what sparked them to come back. So who's to say that Tennessee couldn't do that to them and you know, them just not completely fold under the pressure defensively? But you really have to take Kansas City, right?
Oh, yes. I mean... Yeah, I mean, if it was logically, yes. But, I mean, that's what I sort of thought logically, not for the Titans in the last 2 weeks. No one thought they were going to beat the Patriots. No one definitely thought they were going to beat the Ravens. So, look, they'll be outsiders, but you can't rule them out. Like, Derrick Henry's just...
Oh, no, God, no.
You know, he's doing things that not many other running backs are doing this year at all. I don't think
they've got to put points on, though, against Kansas City.
I think so. I mean, the line against the line for Kansas City is 7.5. So, yeah, this is American line. So they're basically a touchdown. Yeah.
That's actually not too bad, you know.
No, not at all. The other game, what do you think? That'll be a close game with that one, or do you think it'll be a blowout, either which way it goes? The AFC Championship game.
I think Kansas City will cover the line.
Yeah. I
don't think it'll be an uber blowout or anything, but they'll cover the spread.
Yeah, I definitely think that they'll easily cover the spread. I think the next game will be a bit closer, even though we're both probably going to 49ers, the Packers and 49ers. A little bit closer than we sort of think. But
yeah. Defensively, San Francisco, I think, realistically, they should dominate Green Bay up front. It just depends on whether Aaron Rodgers can have another clutch. Yeah, you know, if they keep it close, then you know that they'd be very mindful of what Aaron Rodgers did this week. So you can't rule out Green Bay. You know, they have been terrific without sort of, you know, being absolutely mind-boggling. Yeah, Aaron Jones and Devonta Adams have been the fireworks there, the spark for them. Aaron Rodgers, he knows what he can do, and I get, you know, and like in that game over the weekend, when it was clutch time, he come up big.
Yeah. And that with them, it's going to have to be Devonta Adams that's going to have a massive game. But the San Francisco defense is absolutely ridiculous. The yards allowed for Green Bay this year is 387 yards. The San Francisco, these are total yards, by the way. The San Francisco, 193. Oh, my God.
They just halved
that. That's pass yards and rush yards combined. That is per game. Yeah. That is ridiculous. That's
out of control. Out of control.
I mean, offensively, they're not sort of too bad. I mean, Jimmy G's been playing well, a lot better this year than in other years, but you've got George Kittle there. George Kittle's
he was a non-factor on the weekend. No, he had three receptions, 16 yards. You didn't even need him.
He's still a factor, I think.
But I'm just saying he was a non-factor this week. But you know, when push comes to shove, like that's who's going to be the go-to guy. Be George Kittle. You know, if he had himself a nice little, you know, a little happy time this week where he's not doing a whole lot of work, then he's going to be amped for next week.
So most likely we're both going, and I think it's the way it's going, Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl.
Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl, who would have picked that?
Where tickets are saying they're as low as
$3,534. Oh, get on it.
At the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the tickets that are left.
Yeah, tickets as low as $3,500. That's what I mean.
Oh, that's what a bargain.
It's some serious bleacher ones, so.
Yeah, but they are too. $3,000 for crummy bleacher seats. Far out.
It is the Super Bowl, so.
It's the Super Bowl, and it's in Miami.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're going to clean up. That tax-free down there, they're going to clean up.
My God. Drug dealers are going to be going insane down there. There's going to be blow all over the place. It's going to be ridiculous.
So moving on to some
toilet stalls are going to be full in every nightclub.
Moving on to some news. with the coaching, the Broncos have hired... looks like Pat Shurmur for their offensive coordinator. Good hire. Well, a lot of people are saying it's a great hire. A lot of people are high on Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, well, obviously with the head coaching position that he's previously had at the New York Football Giants. Obviously he wasn't. Unfortunately, he didn't have a whole lot to sort of work with, but. Whose receiving core would you put up? Yeah, would you think would be better, New York's at the moment or the Broncos? Because I'd certainly take New York's receiving core. And with Evan Ingram's healthy, then man,
Golden Tate. Yeah, I suppose. They traded away their their wide receiver to San Francisco, the Denver Broncos.
That's right, yeah. Emmanuel Sanders, so, who was probably their big name. He's in San Francisco now. So
they've only got, I think it's Cortland Sutton that I can Cortland, sort of think
Cortland
of
Cortland Sutton, yeah. He's your number one.
So,
you know, at least New York's got Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram when healthy.
And possibly another high draft pick with another offensive player. So
I wouldn't. They won't go. New York won't go a wide receiver or anyone like that. They're another team that would be most likely looking at offensive line.
Yeah, that's true. If they're going to stick with Daniel Jones, I would say so.
They've taken the Chicago Bears Mitchell Trubisky route. Like all the eggs are in that basket now, and I don't think they're gonna veer from it.
I don't know.
I'm still not sold on Trubisky. I know they're going that route. I don't think they will stay that route, but
they've got no choice. Yeah, you know, they've simply got no choice but to stick with Trubisky. Like that's all there is to it.
The other coach that got hired was Kevin Stefanski, the former offensive coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings. I hired by Cleveland Browns as a coach for 5 years.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, he's been with the organization at Minnesota there for the past 14 years. Sort of been behind the scenes a fair bit for 13 years and then been upgraded to the offensive coordinator this previous season. This season just gone. So we'll see what he can do, you know, with the offensive weapons that he's got there.
Yeah, speaking of offensive weapons, if you're a coach, you'd love to go there.
Oh my God. That's me. Like it's an ordinary organization to walk into, but talent wise, you're walking into something that you think would be pretty special.
It's an ordinary organization to walk into, yes, but would you rather come in as a coach? I suppose it probably doesn't matter.
That's why it's taken them so long to be able to hire somebody, right? Because simply it's the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
if you had this talent, say in Jacksonville or Miami or LA or Atlanta or somewhere like that, Carolina, that vacancy, that position would have been snapped up real quick. But I think purely the fact that it's got the Cleveland Browns on the front of the building, that's why it's taken this long, and there hasn't been sort of, you know, whether it's the high profile guys have been lining up together. That's why they've had to go the route of essentially a first year offensive coordinator. But you know, obviously he's been with Minnesota for a little while, so he knows the ins and outs of the business. So it'll be interesting to watch him and what he does, with those weapons that he's got at his disposal.
I mean, first things first, it's the weapons start from how good your quarterback's playing. So he needs to get better first.
No, that's right.
He had a poor season. I don't care if he thinks he didn't have it. Not that he's come out and said anything, but he needs a better season.
Then he's oblivious to the fact of what just happened in the previous season. If he doesn't think that he's had an ordinary, if not poor season, and regression from last year.
Yeah. I think he's seriously regressed from last year. So, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see with them.
Yeah. And what is that? Is that play calling or is that his play himself? Is that offensive line? Because is it scheming? You know, because it can't be the guys that he's throwing to because they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, it can't be the guys they're throwing to. I mean, they're wide receivers are great. They're running backs. They have two decent running backs. So
yeah, exactly.
They'll
get David Njoku back next year. He was looking good at the end of last year. And at the start of this year before he got hurt and basically shot his season. So, that's my theory. Simply the fact that it's got the Cleveland Browns on the front of the building there, then that's why it's taken them so long to be able to fill this position, because all the other positions got filled up pretty quick. Even the Redskins, you know, didn't take long to get their head coach.
Speaking of the coaches, they're all sort of tied up now. I think that's sort of it, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, that should be it, unless there's going to be some sort of out of the ordinary firing of somebody or anything like that. Like obviously none of the playoff teams are going to be letting any of their coaching staff go. Not being fired. You know, they might get poached somewhere else if they're out of contract and go to another organization, but they're not going to get fired. So it'll just be a matter of that's all head positions filled.
After now that's filled, I'm I'm fairly happy with Mike McCarthy at the Cowboys. Purely, I guess, because out of all the coaches that have been hired, I think that team needs a steady coach, and it's probably not great.
He's got the credential. That's the thing. He's got the credentials behind him. You know, he's got the Super Bowl ring. You know, what was he, 11 years at Green Bay. You know, he's got that little bit of longevity. Okay, it didn't end very well for him at Green Bay. But
wow.
Yeah, that's something. I think I don't know if that was Green Bay
or if that was a bit of Aaron Rodgers, but anyway.
Well, yeah, a little column A, a little column B. So
column B. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I don't think he was very happy with a lot of the stagnant sort of play calling that would be. And you know, and he said, and that's the thing. McCarthy's got Kellen Moore there.
Yeah.
As the OC, it doesn't look like they're going to get rid of him. So you know that'll be. Yeah, there'll be that little bit of innovation from him. So, yeah.
He's still got work to do, but I mean, as you know, firstly, you've got to work out what you're going to do with Dak and Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, because they're unsigned at the moment. Well, Dak's technically got another year, but yeah, you need to work out. And they're two offensive weapons. Obviously, Dak's going to have to stay there. Just either you franchise tag him or you pay him. And they'd have to pay Amari, again, purely because they wasted a number one pick if they don't. It'd just be ludicrous.
Number one pick, that's right, to get Amari Cooper. And, you know, when on song and when Dak and Cooper are connecting well, it's a pretty dangerous combination, especially with Ezekiel Elliott there. You know, they got Michael Gallup as backups in the wide receiver core. Randall Cobb, you know, that they're not names to really be sneezed at. You know, that they're good number twos there. So, you know, Dak had a pretty good year statistically.
I think if he was the best throwing quarterback, I think he'd end up being, I believe. Anyway. It's like a lot of coaches, more wait and see thing, I suppose.
Well, that's it. It's a very long off season. So it'll be, we just got to wait and see what happens with those two contracts. They're the two contracts that they'll be concentrating on. I'd say, I would think they'd have to be trying to concentrate on them now, really.
You want to get
them before they come back to training camp and all that sort of, like, training camp's a long way away, but you want to try and get stuff sorted sooner rather than later.
Other news that's popped up, Julian Edelman has been arrested and cited for vandalism in Beverly Hills. It's
had
funny
a little bit too much fun in LA.
It's funny for a couple of things. Firstly, because of his age, I think he's 34. So not that that means anything, but as in, like, he should know better. He's a 34-year-old man.
Yeah,
33.
No,
I was right. 34 this year.
Does that not sound like fun, jumping on the roof of a car? Like, I think that sounds like fun, and I'm nearly 40.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not fun, but it's also you can do it to your own car, not to someone else's. So that was the one that, I guess, the one thing that I found funny. The other thing is he just literally a day later, I think it was literally the day later. No, 2 days before. So he just received a award from the New England Patriots called the Ed Block Courage Award that they annually honor a player who best exemplifies a principle of courage and sportsmanship while also serving a source of inspiration.
It doesn't say anything about leadership. So, you know, that's just inspiration and courage. So that's he's inspiring young people out there to jump on cars. So, yeah, that's cool.
The timing of it couldn't have been any better. That's why I loved it.
Oh, fantastic. That's such good timing. Oh, man, that couldn't be any better.
And I don't think he doesn't have to give the award back, but not that he probably cares.
No, that sort of knocks down the integrity of the award a little bit, doesn't it?
This is true, but it's only awarded for, it's not like an NFL award, it's a Patriots award, so they won't care. I mean, really, It's either that or you give another award to Tom Brady. Really, it doesn't make a difference.
No, well, so, that's it.
That was all sort of the news that I had before we move on to studs and duds. Do you have any else you wanted to touch on?
No, not really. It's you know, the matchups are set for the AFC and NFC championship games. Obviously, $3,000 for Super Bowl tickets. So, you know, I'm going to jump on StubHub right now and have a look.
Yeah, why not?
I'll just take a week off work and head up to Miami.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to.
Yeah, no, not really. Like it's you know, we're talking about the talking about the coaching carousel. There's also going to be a little bit of a carousel of quarterbacks, I think, over the long off season as well. So I guess we could sort of touch on that at a later time once we've sort of had a little bit of time to look about after the season and what teams' needs are going to be. The one that I keep bringing up is Marcus Mariota. That's the only one that I can't get out of my head at the moment is Mariota.
As in what he does, what's he going to do, or what did the Titans do?
Well, he's still playing at the moment. So and they've been using him. He's had a couple of catches this postseason. So it's not as if they obviously don't trust him to be the starting quarterback, but that at least he's getting on the field, for a couple of plays a game. But you know, still,
is he on the final year of his contract? So he's earning $20 million. So is he still a there's another name. Is he a number one quarterback for a team? Because I wouldn't have thought,
but have a look at what Ryan Tannehill's just done. He spent the last however many seasons in Miami, and everybody down there was saying, you know, is he the guy? Is he not? When he went down, they brought in Jay Cutler for that little bit. You know, Jay Cutler had a few good games that they paid him like $10 million. You know, they just didn't think that he was the answer, and he goes to Tennessee as a backup, beats out Mariota, and have a look at the way. Obviously, you don't have a look at the way he's playing now because he's been kind of irrelevant. But throughout the season,
he's won in the games as well.
Yeah, he's been great. Yeah. So a change, you know, a change of scenery might just be what Mariota is looking for. And the one team that I've sort of looking at a few teams around is Indianapolis. Could the Colts move on from Jacoby Brissett?
He had a fairly good season for his first year, he did have
a good season, but
why?
You know, I don't know.
My thing is if we're touching on the quarterback carousel, so to speak. It all comes down to one man, and then when that one man picks where he wants to go, everything else falls in place, and that's Tom Brady. The dominoes will fall for Tom Brady, because if he moves, expect a lot of the carousel going around, because then the Chargers, well, and this is who I think if they're going to get him, if he's going to go, that's where they're going to go. So they'll have him. Then what do the Patriots do? They could go after a Mariota or someone like that. So, or like you said, Jameis Winston. He's another one that mightn't get picked up yet. Who knows? Right. So,
Jameis INT Winston.
Yeah. So
those are his three middle initials. INT.
I just think it all comes down to where Tom Brady, when Tom Brady picks where Tom Brady wants to go, and he did sell his house in Boston, so when
has
he decides
sold it
where
or he, is he no, no he sold he's, it he's, or he's yeah. selling it
no he has sold it, because
come down by like $5 million. Like he was trying to sell
$39.5 million Boston mansion. So
thanks for coming.
So, I mean, if you're going to move and you're going to move, so again, I come out of the Chargers, new stadium, LA, you know, Hollywood. So his wife's part of that, you know, he'd probably like the warmer climate. You know, it's a lot of things in favor. So
it does fit.
It fits, but, you know, there's, like you said, if it goes from him, well, but who knows? He could do the old, he could go, well, I can do anything that Peyton Manning can do, and he could go to the Colts. Who knows?
Oh, man.
Hey, who knows? Like, there's a lot of teams that, if he says he'll go to another team, there's a lot of people that put money on it.
Oh, yeah, of course they will. So, although you're going to say he's going to be like Peyton Manning, go to the Denver Broncos.
They're another one. I doubt that he will go there. If he's going to go to going to go to a team that's going to have some weapons and
ready made to go right now.
He might even go to the Titans for all we know, because technically they're not signed for next year. Tannehill and Mariota. No. That's some serious. Tannehill, but then he want weapons.
He's going to get paid. Tannehill's going to get paid.
Or franchise tag. Well, I hate using the word, but I feel like that'd be sort of, you know, he could just be a one year and went, you know, like, what, you know, 1 year sort of wonder and then he goes to shit again. Like, they only just picked him up from Miami, so I could see a franchise tag on him. I mean, look what happened to Denver. They threw all the money at Joe Flacco and that went nowhere.
Ooh, what the hell's going to happen there next year?
I don't know. I just think when Tom Brady decides, that's when the carousel sort of starts happening. I think that's if
that's true.
I think if he wants to win again, I think he needs to move. But not sure.
Unless they start picking up some star wide receivers.
That's not going to happen because there's not many out there. Not on the free agency wire anyway.
Not on the market.
Sort of thing. So, moving on to some studs and duds of the week. You could pick a stud from every game, really, couldn't you?
Yeah, you probably could.
Mine, I don't know. I tried looking past a few other sort of players, but I kept coming back to Travis Kelce. I just think he was everywhere that Patrick Mahomes needed him to be. He did get 3 touchdowns. He only had to catch 10 catches to get 134 yards.
I thought by the end of the game he was going to have about 18 or 19 catches the way they kept going to him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's a tight end. That's just where it all comes back to.
It's crazy.
He's a mobile tight end. He's a massive tight end too. When they needed him to step up, he definitely did. And Mahomes didn't want to throw to anyone. Didn't want to throw to anyone else.
He didn't want to. He was only throwing to Travis Kelce. That was it. Nobody else.
Did you have anybody?
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. I mean, like, you know, you want to go past the obvious sort of guys. But, you know, I did the same thing. I came back to Davante Adams.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he carried that. He had a couple of key receptions there. Aaron Rodgers, you know, only completed 16 passes. 8 of them were to Davante Adams, and he had 160 yards. The other 8 to the other 8 receivers that he completed was only for 83 yards. So Davante Adams outdone everybody by half. So I couldn't really look past. Davante Adams and just what they'd sort of done in a close game.
Yeah.
He definitely made the difference I think he was targeted 11 times. Catches 160. So I thought he was
TDs,
he was grub.
Yeah, he was only targeted 11 times. So yeah, correct. Do you have a dud of the week?
Well, I'm gonna sort of go.
Julian Edelman.
Well, no, I could have Julian Edelman as a stud of the week.
You were gonna say that. I knew you were gonna say that. Then. Of course, go jump on the car.
Oh, trampoline car roof.
Well, that's maybe excellent.
It was a trampoline. Yeah, who the hell knows what he was on? So anyway. The dud of the week I thought was, for me, it was pretty obvious that, you know, you got to go with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And whether that's on him or whether that's on the scheme that they didn't want to use him, you can't have in a big playoff game. I get it, it's on the road, but you know, in a big playoff game, he can't go 9 rushes for 18 yards and 6 receptions for 8 yards. Like yeah. that's essentially just 6 checkdowns.
Yeah.
So you can't have that kind of performance. You just can't.
Yeah. No, I totally not for a player of his stature.
And for the season that he had, and for the week that he had the week before.
Yeah.
That's just total absence.
I was thinking sort of teams with my sort of dud of the week. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I really couldn't go past that 24-0 Houston Texans lead, and then below that lead. It's just I don't know what it was. A choke job for the coaching staff, because I don't think it was from Deshaun. I think Deshaun Watson was playing his heart out. He was trying ridiculously hard. It was the defensive coordinator. They just had no answer. I don't know, but that's a 24-0 choke. Like that's ridiculous.
A few key mishaps in certain areas as well. So yeah, whether that was a coaching thing or just a complete another team failure.
Or look, and it could have been. Yeah, I'm just saying Houston Texans to blow a lead. I mean, it could have just been they couldn't. You know, Patrick Mahomes just went to town and they really couldn't stop him. It could have just been that. So
I don't know what sort of defense would have been able to stop in the mood he was in.
Yeah, possibly, but to blow a 24-0 lead in a divisional game is too unconscionable for me.
No, it's a winery, isn't it?
Well, that'll do it, I guess, this week for the NFL podcast. Next week we'll be only reviewing 2 games, so... Like you said, we might have to start digging into the a little bit more NFL news.
We'll get into some awards,
some off-season sort of stuff. Yeah, the awards as well.
Yeah, we'll get into our awards next week. So we'll hopefully we can get that out before the NFL gets theirs out, so we can look like geniuses and then not. So
yeah,
we'll
that's a good idea. We can bash that out before them and just pick and say they consulted us. Good. Just if you're out there on the NFL network.
yeah, we good. Yep.
Have a good week.
Let's work on that.
Have a good week, anyone. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there. My name's Jason Smith.
I was just gonna say I'm Miles Trampoline Roof Plum.
Miles Edelman. Miles Edelman signing off.
Yeah, signing off. Enjoy your championship weekend, everybody, and we shall see you next week with the first off the line awards.
Go the Niners. Peace.
Yeah. See ya.